Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Today I will introduce the two aspects of Dhamma to you for Vipassana practice, which is the five aggregates, or sometimes we say the five aggregates of clinging, referring to non-arahant, anyone below the arahant, the five aggregates of those who have not attained full enlightenment is called five aggregates of clinging. Because it is object of people that people use to cling to it. But sometimes also we use it generally because it's object that beings inevitably always cling to it. Five aggregates. This I think all of you know, mostly, the aggregate of materiality, rupa, the aggregate of feeling, vedana, rupa khanda, vedana, khanda, sanya, the aggregates of perception, the aggregate of formations, or volish formations, Sankhara and Vijnana, the aggregates of consciousness. So the first aggregate is the materiality, and the second to fifth, Vedana, feeling, perception, Sanya, Sankhara, formations, and Vijnana, consciousness. These are the Nama, mentality. So, and then we always in the Buddha's teaching, we always, if the Buddha didn't talk about the five aggregates, he always referred to six sense doors experiences. Then what are so special about these two groups? There are other categories like Nama Rupa, but today we focus on these two. Five aggregates and six sense door experiences. Now, first let's see this in the Mahasatipatthana. Let's have a look in our chanting book. Every 2 weeks, we will recite the whole Mahasatipatthana once. From beginning to the end, complete recitation. So let's just briefly look at it. As all of us know, it's Mahasatipatthana Sutta. There's also a Satipatthana Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, which is a smaller version. But usually we don't, because we usually use a Mahasatipatthana Sutta, which is in the Digha Nikaya. Why? Because this is a more complete. When you talk about Satipatthana, it's a more complete sutta with additional complete explanation about the Four Noble Truth. And because the Four Noble Truth is so important in Satipatthana practice, because of that, we always, whenever any teacher talk about Satipatthana, always refer to the Mahasatipatthana Sutta in the Digha Nikaya, instead of the Satipatthana Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya. Okay. Now, okay, let's see the Mahasatipatthana Sutta in our chanting book. As everyone knows, when we refer to Mahasatipatthana, we always like to recite this verse, which is so important to us. It's well known, but it's good to recite again. Let's turn to page chanting book 35. And for the Uddeso, the preamble, let's recite together. The Pali and then the English. Ekayano ayang bikawe maggo satanang visuddhiya. Soka perdewanang samatikamaya dukkha domanasanang athangamaya. Nyayasa adigamaya nibanasa sacikaryaya. Yadidang cataro satipatthana. Okay, English. Because this is the single way for the purification of beings, for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of pain and grief, for the attainment of the true way, and for the realization of Nibbana, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. Sometimes it's also translated as the one way. The one way. But sometimes some people translate as only way, but it become a question people want to, people debate over it. But eka is one. Eka yano, one way. Okay, then the katame. Katame chataro. Ida bikawe biku kaye kaya nupasi viharati atapi sampajano satima vinaya loke abhija domanasang. Vedanasu vedana nupasi viharati atapi sampajano satima vinaya loke abhija domanasang. Citte citta nupasi viharati atapi sampajano satima vinaya loke abhija domanasang. Dhammesu dhamma nupasi viharati atapi sampajano satima vinaya loke abhija domanasang. What are the four? Here, bhikkhus, a bhikkhu abides contemplating the body as a body with ardor, comprehension and mindfulness, having overcome covetousness and grief for the world. He abides contemplating feelings as feelings with ardor, comprehension and mindfulness, having overcome covetousness and grief for the world. He abides contemplating mind as mind with ardor, comprehension and mindfulness, having overcome covetousness and grief for the world. He abides contemplating Dhamma objects as Dhamma objects with ardor, comprehension and mindfulness, having overcome covetousness and grief for the world. Okay. Actually, when we cover this, kaya, vedana, citta, dhamma, actually it covers everything. Nothing is left out. Everything. In the satipatthana, everything is included. All elements of mind, body, all are covered. Dhamma cover everything. Then see here, kaya nupasana, anapana pabang. This is the first aspect of kaya nupasana. It's actually anapanasati. At one time, when I was in San Jose, America, the Silicon Valley, when I was teaching, they invited me to teach anapanasati and invited to teach meditation. So I came up with teaching anapanasati. Then among some of the audience told me, Pandey, can you teach us satipatthana? You want to learn satipatthana? I say, what? You want to learn satipatthana? Do you know what is satipatthana? He say, yo, we know. Seeing the body rising and falling, whatever. Yeah. Then I showed her, I say, well, let's, before we teach meditation, let's talk about Mahasatipatthana Sutta. So I show them. They don't shock. Anapanasati practice is the first meditation object in Satipatthana Sutta. Yeah, I say this is Satipatthana proper, Kaya Nupasana. But anyway, this is not the main part of today. So let's turn to page Dhammanupasana, page 45. Just to have a look on it, what are these Dhammanupasana? We have this contemplation of Dhamma object, the five hindrances. Then page 47, Khandapabang, five clinging aggregates, or five aggregates of clinging. And then sense basis. Sense basis, it comes again and again. It means six sense laws. Six sense of Dhamma object. Internal and external sense basis. Internal and external sense basis. The eye and the eye object, which is the vision, the visible objects. Then the sounds, the ear and the sounds, and the fetters, etc. And then the seven factors of enlightenment, Bojanga. Okay, bye. Anyway, this is not the main part of today. Then let's come to the last. So we have a few part in the Dhammanupasana. Dhammanupasana, we have the five hindrances. One, five clinging aggregates, sense basis, Bojanga, and the fifth portion is actually Satchapabang, the Four Noble Truths. Okay? Then, let's look at page 52. Page 52. Dukkha Saccha Nideso. Can you see? Dukkha Saccha Nideso. Let's recite the Pali together and then the English for the first paragraph only. Katamanja bhikkhave dukkang arya sacchang. Jati pi dukkha, jara pi dukkha, maranam pi dukkhang, soka pardewa dukkha dumana supaya sapi dukkha. Appiyehi sampayugo pi dukkho, piyehi vipayugo pi dukkho. Yam picchang na labhati tampi dukkhang. Sankitena panchupadana khanda dukkha. Okay, you can see, Let's recite it in the English. Now, because what is the noble truth of suffering? Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Association with the disliked is suffering. Separation from the liked is suffering. Not getting what one wants is suffering. In short, the five aggregates of clinging are suffering. Okay. It seems the sickness is not specially mentioned in this. Actually, it is mentioned in pain, dukkha. Dukkha in this way, it means kayikang dukkang. So the physical pain actually is sickness. It means sickness. So it is covered. Birth, old age, sickness and death is all covered. But look at the last thing, which is the most important. Sankitena panchupadana khanda dukkha. In short, the five aggregates of clinging are suffering. Actually, this is the most important part. Because before this, all the suffering that we talk about is dukkha dukkha. Obvious suffering. Suffering that everyone can know. When you suffer, you don't like. Nobody like. Then it is clear. This is simple. Suffering that everyone know. Dukkha, dukkha. But when we talk about the five aggregates of clinging or suffering, it goes deep into the ultimate realities. It is not superficial to look at it. It covers all aspects of our life. Can you find anything as any experience of ours escape these five parts? Materiality, feeling, perception, formations, and consciousness. Nothing. Nothing. So when you talk about this, it covers everything. Okay? So you can learn. If you want to know more about it, you can read it before. When you wish, what you wish, you wouldn't get. Okay. Now, when we talk about five aggregates of suffering, we will come back to this later. Okay? Five aggregates of clinging. How should we practice vipassana? Based on taking these five aggregates of clinging as object. There are many, many suttas you can find in the Buddha's teaching. Many, many suttas. You see the Buddha repetitively thought about five aggregates of clinging. But for simple reference, we take from our chanting book, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, page 29. Can you get Anatta Lakkhana Sutta? So, this talk about non-self and characteristic of the first partner. The Buddha talk about non-self. It's simple. Just, this is not my, this is not I. If this is my, then I should be able to command it. But because I can't command it, then it is not I, not self. Okay, this one the day we have talked about in the previous talk. So, we'll just skip this part. Then page 30. Okay, the second last paragraph. Tangking manyata bikawe. Okay? This is the one. Okay, we just read the English and we'll do. Monks, what do you think? Is form permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, venerable sir. That which is impermanent, is it unsatisfactory or satisfactory? Unsatisfactory, venerable sir. That which is impermanent, unsatisfactory, and subject to change, is it suitable to consider this is my, this I am, this is myself? Certainly not, venerable sir. Likewise, the Buddha went on to use the same formula, the approach, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. So you see, in all answer, the five monks, answer in the same way, the impermanent is suffering. Have you ever thought about it? Are you sure impermanent is suffering? Some people told me, they argue with me, Pandey, impermanent is happiness also. When my pain become impermanent, my pain goes away, my sickness became impermanent and my sickness went away. So, he was happy. I was happy when I recovered from my sickness. When my bad feeling went away, when my bad perception went away, then I feel so happy. No, the monk did not refer to superficial level of feeling, of perception, of materiality. Because in conceptual level, change sometimes can be good. How can you say change is no good? Sometimes it's good. When you want to listen to song, you listen to the same song again and again, they feel bored. But when the song change again, keep changing new songs, it was good. The change is good. So, but look at the five monks when they answer the Buddha. Affirmatively. No, it is unsatisfactory. Why? Definitely, this doesn't refer to the superficial impermanence. It refers to the up to ultimate reality level. When you practice vipassana, taking ultimate reality as object, all the, not even kalapa, you break through the kalapa's contents of kalapa. For example, in the subatomic particle that you experience, some of you have experienced already here, you know, I'm sure you know already. So when you experience the materiality in the subatomic particle, the kalapa, at least you have 8 elements. Earth, water, fire, wind, color, order, taste, and the what do you call? Nutriment. At least you have 8 elements. These are the nutriment in the kalapa. At least you have 8. And for the eyes, transparent element, then you have that with the jivita, the life force. So these are, when you experience this ultimate reality, arising and passing away, at extremely fast speed, do you experience anything pleasant? No, it is oppressive. It comes overwhelmingly. Nobody really experienced up to that level will call it satisfactory. You call it happiness. Not possible. Up to that level, not possible. The only answer is it is unsatisfactory. It keeps changing. Nothing to hold on to. So that is, but that nature is also non-self. We understand. Now we come to the page 31. How to practice in Vipassana? How do we practice taking 5 aggregates of clinging as object? Okay, let's read the second paragraph again of page 31. Tasmat iha bhikkhave yang, let's read together. Tasmat iha bhikkhave yang kinci rupang atitana kata pacupannang ajatangwa bhaidawa olarekangwa sukumangwa hinangwa panidangwa yang dore santikewa sabbang rupang netang mama nesohamasmi nameso atati ewa metang yadha bhutang sama panyaya dadapang. Therefore, monks, whatever form, whether past, future or present, internal or external, coarse or fine, inferior or superior, far or near, all form is to be seen as it is with perfect wisdom. Thus, that is not mine, I'm not that, that is not myself. Yeah, actually, this refer to, when you say this is I, mine, there's a cling on to it. When you think I'm not that, then the pride is one to overcome our craving or pride and then our wrong view. When you see thoroughly, it has this impact. To remove the craving, the pride and the wrong view. Yatha bhutang samma panyaya databang. Actually, it means the same thing as in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. The day we study, we say, yatha bhutang jnana dasana. Jnana is samma panya. Same, it means the same thing. In here, the Buddha used samma panya. Yatha bhutang, as it is, as they are. Samma panya databang, see. You see as they are. So same. Yatha bhutang jnana dasanang. Jnana is also panya. And then dasanang. Same. It means seeing it directly without imagination. Not by thinking, not by reasoning, but by direct insight into materiality, rupang. The 11 ways, you see, past, future, present, internal or external, cause of fine, inferior, superior, far or near. This refers to various ways of classification. Later you study Abhidhamma, we know this is not within the today's talk. Today just if you want to do, we go through the Abhidhamma again. But anyway. Then the feeling as well. Basically, the feeling, past, future, present, internal, external. You see, for feeling, very strange. You see this Vipassana training, the 11 ways of seeing the 5 aggregates of clinging. Past, future, present, internal, external. Many people think that Vipassana is only taking present object. No. It takes past, future, present object with the present mind. With presence of mind. Yeah, we need to understand. For those of you who have experienced this, you know. When you see the past object, present object, future object, when you see with the present mind, Any difference? No. You just see, especially independent origination, you see five aggregates from past, from many lives ago, all the way to present and to future. See, the Vipassana training is the same. But the difference is, the significance is that when you take past and future and five aggregates as object, it can help you to detach from past and future. Because the past and future is also anicca, dukkha, anatta. That's very important. Sometimes in order to cut off, we use a simple term, cut off, to relinquish our attachment to past experience, our clinging to future dreams or whatever. We need to practice Vipassana this way, so that the anusaya, the latent tendency, can be removed. Latent tendencies, the defilements, the anusaya, the akusala, the kilesa, not easy to remove. Only when you go deep down into the deep experience, then you can remove. Because for enlightenment, it requires a removal of the defilements from deep down, not superficial level. Superficial level, when you do Vipassana, you already can do. But you want to cut deep down up to the Magga Jnana level, the path inside, the path wisdom level, then it requires very profound Vipassana practice, covering all experiences, all possible experiences, past, future, present, internal and external. Okay? So after that, what will happen? After taking the five aggregates of past, future, present, internal, external, cause of fine, inferior or superior, far or near, what will happen? Let's read the 30 page 32, second paragraph. Page 32, second last paragraph. Evang pasang. Second. Okay. It's good to recite together, monks. Ewang pasang bikawe sutwa arya sawako rupas mimpi nibindati vedana yapi nibindati sanya yapi nibindati sangkare supi nibindati vinyanas mimpi nibindati nibindang wirajati viraga vimuchati vimutasming vimutamiti nyanang hoti kina jati usitang brahmacaryang katang karaniang naprang itatayati pajanati iti. Seeing thus, monks, the learned noble disciple is disenchanted with form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. Disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, he is liberated. Being liberated, there is the liberation knowledge. Thus, he understands destroy is birth. The holy life has been lived. What had to be done has been done. There is no more for this state of being. Then the beautiful part, the Buddha, at the end of the Buddha's teaching of this Anattalakkhana Sutta, the minds of the group of five monks were liberated through non-attachment from the taints. Okay, this is how in Vipassana we take the five aggregates of clinging as object of Vipassana practice. For Vipassana practice, you don't take conceptual object. No. You always go, Vipassana always take ultimate realities as object. Ultimate realities only, not conceptual. If you want to know further about five aggregates of clinging, then you can read up the Abhidhammata, Abhidhammata Sangaha, if you want simple. In the Abhidhamma, these five aggregates, they classify it in a very special way. Consciousness, mental states, materiality, and Nibbana. Four ultimate realities. Of course, in the Abhidhamma also, we have conceptual teaching about Pugala, how the beings are classified. But mainly when we talk about Abhidhamma, we always talk about the ultimate reality. Okay? So in this ultimate reality of consciousness, mental states, the materiality, and Nibbana, the first three, consciousness and mental states, they are mentality. And Rupa is materiality. So this covers all Sankara, all forming. Formation got different meaning. Different meaning. Volitional consciousness refer to mental states. But when we talk about the Sankara in a general, in a wider sense, it refers to all conditioned states that arise, that all arise and pass away. Okay? So now, the effect of seeing the ultimate reality as such in the Vipassana way, it produces impact, natural impact. It is how the natural ultimate reality, the natural phenomena, how it works on our mind is natural. It doesn't require any kind of brainwashing. No. When our minds really come face to face with ultimate reality, it has an impact of producing real useful disenchantment. Why? When you practice Vipassana, we understand. There's nothing to grasp. All we hold it to be dear and pleasant and for which we create all kinds of defilements. Now you realize that it is not. It is not so dear. Like in the sutta, it refers to it, the experience as something like this. There's a state on your body. You know, you didn't realize, you thought it was nice. One day you suddenly realize, it is a snake on my neck. Then you have to throw it away quickly. Because you know, this is a, you know, you have been cherishing this enemy. This enemy hurt ourselves so much. Because of not seeing it, we hold it so dear. For it, we fight, we kill, we did all sorts of unwholesome things, all causes of suffering. Because of the illusion of it. Now you see the real state of this ultimate reality, then naturally you don't want to hold on to it anymore. So this is natural. Then it opens up the whole opportunity to realize the next ultimate reality, which is not arising and not passing away, not conditioned, which is the Nibbana. Okay? So this is science. This is science. The Buddha realized that the causes of suffering are created because of not understanding this nature, the true nature of things. So when we can understand the true nature of things, then it has a natural impact of not falling into the trap again. Okay? Now, let's turn back to page 55. The sixth sense, the all experience. We don't have the time to recite the Pali. Let's just recite the English one. Then we can talk about it. Page 55. And because, what is the noble truth of the origin of suffering? It is a craving which gives rise to birth, bound up with pleasure and lust, finding new delight now, here, now, there. That is to say, sensual craving, craving for existence, and craving for non-existence. People don't realize, craving for non-existence also will cause rebirth. Last year, one of my China disciples, at the age of 31, committed suicide, which he suffered so much pain from due to the blood loss, due to the the female period, but in a bad way. Lost so much blood. So when we video call with her, the face was so pale. No blood. Because of that affect her mind. She told me, but day I had so many times I have this thought of committing suicide. But I remember your words saying that when you commit suicide, not easy to be reborn in a good place because the dying state is miserable. But I've suffered so much. I told her to go to the Western doctor. She refused. She wanted to take the Chinese doctor only. I said, this kind of thing, just simple, the Western doctor will just give you blood infusion, then transmission. You just get some intake of new blood. Then you can maintain for some time. I said, this is simple. Not everything the Chinese doctor is the best. Sometimes you just need the Western doctor. You know, they complement each other actually. I think these two kind of medicine, medicine practice, they complement each other. They have the advantage. Chinese medicine have Chinese the special unique strength. But Western medicine also has certain advantage. So when you need a quick remedy, you better go to Western medicine. But she refused to take my advice. So since that's the case, I recommend her to get some advice from Chinese doctor. So, but at the end, a few days later, when I was too busy, I didn't check on her. So by the time I check on her, she already passed away one day before and jumped down to the pool, nature pond, and wearing white attire, very beautiful, because she couldn't take the suffering anymore. But why not give you a try? Give Western doctor a try. Very strange. I think some kind of karma broke her from this simple intelligence. She was an intelligent girl. Very intelligent, very nice, very lively, very jovial and very active. But when this sickness came, the mind state changed so much. Suddenly become like old lady. So old, her face looks so old. Very pitiful. So she was craving for non-existence. She didn't want, she saw no meaning in life anymore. She didn't want this life. But would she be reborn? Yes, all the same. Why? Craving for non-existence, thinking that after this there were no more. She knew there was something. She knew, she told me she didn't want to go to hell. But at the end, the suffering was too huge for her to bear. She chose to end it. But I don't know. So hard, huh? So craving for non-existence is also another craving that made you be reborn. So the only way you don't want to be reborn is to cut out this craving by wisdom, by Mahajnana, through Vipassana practice, by Mahajnana. Okay, let's continue. Craving for existence also, let's say you are a Brahma. Brahma usually don't crave for sensual craving, but will they be reborn? Yes. If they have some kind of craving for existence. When we were born into the mother's womb, the first thought that arose in our mind is this. It's always a craving to the life. It's about clinging. For those who practice Vipassana and dependent origination, try to see this. When you're born into the mother's womb, the first thought process is craving. It's like grabbing. Immediate, without fail, it is a grabbing. When you come to existence, the first thing is grabbing. You know? Some people don't believe. How can it be? Without fear, always grasping the mind arise. The first thought. Very simple. Let's walk along the water edge. If suddenly someone just grab you and throw you into the water, what is your first response? Immediately, you tense up. You're going to grab. You know? Yeah. Unless you're arahant, otherwise this will happen. So, just for your knowledge, for those who practice Vipassana now, some of the audience, so look for this. You realize this happened. It's always there. Okay, let's continue reading the English one. And because, where does this craving arise and establish itself? Wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasant, there this craving arises and establishes itself. And what, page 56, and what in the world is agreeable and pleasant? The eye in the world is agreeable and pleasant. And there this craving arises and establishes itself. The ear in the world, the nose in the world, the tongue in the world, the body in the world, the mind in the world is agreeable and pleasant. And there this craving arises and establishes itself. There this craving establishes. Look at it. Later I will come back to this again. Then let's read again. Visible objects in the world, sounds in the world, odors in the world, flavors in the world, tangibles in the world, Dhamma objects in the world are agreeable and pleasant. And there this craving arises and establishes itself. Actually, I think it makes sense when we translate another way also, you know. The world of eye, the world of ear, you know. Yes, actually, when we experience the world, we experience the world through eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. And also, visible objects, sounds. Actually, these make up the whole, these make up our world. So if you look at the Pali, Ganda Loke, Rasa Loke, Potapa Loke, it actually refers to the elements that we deem it to be our world. Or you can understand it. So the translation, the language may be a little bit awkward, but you can understand it this way. All these elements are what we hold it to be, we consider to be our world, you know. Yes, look at it. Think of it properly. When we talk about our world, my world, it's always this eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, all these experiences. When you read further, you understand. It covers all aspects of our experiences through six sense doors. Okay? So put aside the translation. You cannot, difficult to translate it perfectly. So it can also refers to the, it means basically the experience that we hold dear and call it our world. You know? Okay. Eye consciousness in the world, ear consciousness in the world, nose consciousness in the world, tongue consciousness in the world, body consciousness in the world, mind consciousness in the world is agreeable and pleasant. And there is craving arises and establishes itself. So when we experience, we always experience with our eye, you know, eye refers to what? In our eye, you find various types of kalapa. The element that take in the light, have an impact to the light, basically is the eye transparent element. Not the whole eye. Eye transparent element. The ear is likewise ear transparent element, nose transparent. The kalapa that having this transparent element, and it is this transparent element that take the colors, take the sound, take the smell, and the taste, and the tangible feeling. Like that. So, put aside. So these are the experiences. So it's always the base, then the object, and the consciousness. Without the consciousness, you don't see. Do you have the experience sometimes when you look at something, but the mind is wandering somewhere? And then after that, people ask you, do you see some so and so? No, I didn't see. You forget. Why? Because your consciousness is not there. The mind is thinking somewhere else, daydreaming. So even when you look at it, it is as you wouldn't see. You know? It is only when these three come together, I, the object, and the consciousness, then you see. Okay? Then we go further. The experience is not only seeing. Eye contact, ear contact, then this contact, all the six and all, we don't need to read, just contact. And then the feeling born of contact. Okay? Perception of visible objects. Volition in regard to visible objects. Volition means when we want to create any karma regarding the visible object. Regarding the sound, you want to create any karma. When you want to listen to songs, you are creating the karma. Because this is the cetana, sanchetana, the volition. In regard to flavors. Volition in regard to the tangibles, etc. Then craving for visible object. Craving arise. Satchatana, it involves the most important, the fundamental mental states for creating karma. When you don't have the chatana, even you, sometimes in every day we step on some beings, but we don't say we kill. Why? Because we don't have the chatana. When we have the chatana, you want to kill this being that you see, then, or you, when you sleep, you hear the sound of the mosquito, and then you kill. That is an object, the sound. So that, this is, these are the objects. So because of that, we crave all these things. The perception of all these things in the world is agreeable and pleasant, and then there's a craving arises and establishes itself. Because of this experience only, cetana, then tanha, craving. Then vitaka vichara, applied thought and sustained thought. It covers. These are the things that make up our understanding of things as pleasant or unpleasant. So, what does it mean? All these experiences that we want to see it as it is. Then, these are the six sense law experience in very thorough way. Not superficial. Very thorough way. Scientifically. Why? Why I say scientifically? Because these are the elements. The Buddha goes down to elements. But some people say, well, did I ever attach to this kind of vitaka vichara? I don't even know what is vitaka vichara. No, whether you know or you don't know. You incur this thought process. You incur this experience. So when the Buddha use it, the Buddha, whenever, you notice in the suttas, whenever he describes any experience, and whenever he wants to teach a disciple to be free from suffering, he always apply very scientific approach. Why? Refers to the elements of your experiences. Only when we can understand, if we can cover and understand the science of it, the experiences of our the signs, the elements of our experiences that covers everything. All ultimate reality in those experiences. That is vipassana. Okay? So there you practice vipassana. There you realize that this cause of suffering arises. Okay? Then look at page 58 again. Again, The Buddha applied. Remember, Mahasatipatthana is a sutta for meditation practice. The whole sutta teaches how to practice samatha and vipassana. So, because of that, when the Buddha refers to this, he refers to ultimately, he refers to the fire aggregates of clinging, and refers to all these experiences that produce that craving. And then when we talk about Nirodha Satcha, the cessation of suffering, usually refers to Nibbana, or we refer to the ending of the Kilesa, or Kilesa Paranibbana, ending of the defilements. Especially when one attain Arhatamaga, all defilements is extinguished. So we say the Arahant achieve Kilesa Paranibbana, the cessation of the defilements. When after the cessation of defilements, when the Arahant pass away, they will not have the produce new five aggregates of clinging, five aggregates. Then we say the Arahant achieve Khanda Parinibbana, the cessation of five aggregates. First, the cessation of defilements, then the cessation of five aggregates. And then, what is the realization? It is not nothing. It is Nibbana. We call that Asankata. Nibbana. The unformed, unconditioned state of Nibbana, which is the fourth ultimate reality according to Abhidhamma way of classification. So now, but when we come to Nirodha Satcha in Mahasatipatthana, the Buddha taught it in the way of practice. Okay? So the approach is very unique. When the Buddha talked about Nirodha Satcha elsewhere in the suttas, the Buddha only referred to all the cessation of the defilements. Usually he said, and sometimes the Buddha says cessation of the aggregates, or the unborn elements. But now in this Mahasatipatthana Sutta, you look at this, the Buddha taught it in the way for us to realize, for us to meditate, for us to practice here and now. Okay, let's read. Page 58. And because, what is the noble truth of the cessation of suffering? It is a complete fading away and extinction of this craving. It's forsaking and abandonment, liberation from it, detachment from it. And because how does this craving come to be abandoned? How does its cessation come about? Wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasant, there this craving comes to be abandoned. There is cessation comes about. And what in the world is agreeable and pleasant? The eye in the world is agreeable and pleasant. And there this craving comes to be abandoned. There this is cessation comes about. The ear in the world, tongue, nose, tongue, body and mind, is agreeable and pleasant. There this craving comes to be abandoned. There is cessation comes about. Similarly, visible objects, sounds, odors, flavors, tangibles, Dharma objects, and eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, mind consciousness, eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, mind contact, feeling likewise, and then all the perception, volition, craving, and applied thought, and sustained thought. Okay? So these are six sense laws ways. I call it six sense laws ways. The Buddha present differently to different audience the six sense laws ways. Sometimes this way, sometimes that way. But it doesn't matter. All we need to know is today's talk, my purpose is to bring to your attention that in Vipassana practice, There are many approach or to approach vipassana. Nama rupa only, you know, the materiality, mentality also, you can attain enlightenment. You can approach it the five aggregates way. You can approach it the six sense laws ways or the 12 bases, whatever. It's okay. But it means the same thing. You need to cover all experiences of life, past, future, present, etc. A different approach. Then look at the after that the Buddha goes to say the Maggasaccha. What is the Maggasaccha? Samma Ditti, Samma Sankappo, Samma Vaccha, Samma Kammanto, Samma Jivo, Samma Vayamo, Samma Sati, Samma Samadhi. The right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. So in the Noble Eightfold Path, it starts with the wisdom practice, then the morality practice, and concentration practice. But here, it refers, remember when we talk about wisdom, we have three types of wisdom. Sutta Meya Panya, first you listen, you hear about it, then you know how to keep the precepts. You know? You know why you need to keep the precepts. So right view, right thought, it is a wisdom practice. Then we cultivate our morality. Our cultivate our concentration. You notice that just by hearing about the Dhamma is not enough. You need to contemplate about the Dhamma. Then you cultivate the Cintamaya Panya. The wisdom based on the reasoning or thinking power. But this is still not enough. Then you need to cultivate based on morality and concentration. Because of the understanding, you develop morality and concentration. But when morality and concentration develop well and good enough, then it's again, it produces a power to cultivate wisdom. And this wisdom is no more ordinary wisdom. This is Bhavana Maya Panya. The wisdom of insight, of direct experience of truth. Okay? So it comes in a cycle. You started with the basic wisdom of hearing and thinking. Then you are able to practice the morality properly, virtues properly, concentration properly. But on base, taking this morality and concentration as foundation, now you are able to see beyond the superficial truth. Because of the concentration power, you have the light of wisdom that shines beyond the surface of the superficial truth. The human, this is a man, this is a woman, this is my car, this is a beautiful country, whatever. Then you see to the ultimate reality level. But without concentration, you cannot have this kind of wisdom. This is Bhavana Maya Panya. Okay? So, you see, in every Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, Chitta Nupassana, or Dhamma Nupassana, you see the ending is always this, page 62. Okay? Iti ajatangwa dhammesu dhamma nupasi viharati. Bhai dawa dhammeso dhammanupasi viharati. Ajata bhai dawa dhammeso dhammanupasi viharati. Samudaya dhammanupasi wa dhammeso viharati. Vaya dhammanupasi wa dhammeso viharati. Samudaya vaya dhammanupasi wa dhammeso viharati. Ati dhammati wa panasa sati pachupati tahoti. Yawa deva nyana matai pati sati matai anisito cha viharati. Naja kinchilo ke upadiyati. Ewan piku bikai biku dhammeso dhammanupasi viharati. Chatusu Arya Sachesu. In fact, in every Pabang, the Buddha always repeat this Vipassana instruction. Let's recite the English one. Page 62 again. Thus he advises contemplating Dhamma objects as Dhamma objects internally, or he advises contemplating Dhamma objects as Dhamma objects
externally, or he abides contemplating Dhamma objects as Dhamma objects, both internally and externally. He abides contemplating arising phenomena in the Dhamma objects, or he abides contemplating vanishing phenomena in the Dhamma objects, or he abides contemplating both arising and vanishing phenomena in the Dhamma objects. Or mindfulness that there are Dhamma objects is established in him, just to the extent necessary for knowledge and mindfulness. And in this way, he abides detached, not clinging to anything in the world, because this is how a bhikkhu abides contemplating Dhamma objects and Dhamma objects concerning the Four Noble Truths. So the Four Noble Truths is Satipatthana practice in this aspect. You see, the Dukkha Saccha, we take the five aggregates of clinging as object. The Samudaya Saccha, actually it's the same, but here the Buddha refers to all the six sense law experiences, and then Nirodha Saccha also. So the arising, the vanishing, and then the Magga Saccha. Magga Saccha, you cultivate the noble eightfold path, and then you cultivate the right view again. What is this right view? Right view again is the understanding of Four Noble Truths. And then you cultivate basically sila, samadhi, panya. You know? So everything is covered. Everything. Nothing is left out in this Mahasatipatthana Sutta. Okay? All, it covers all our experiences. All experiences. So just to, so that, what is the purpose of this talk to you? We have no time to go into details of the practice. Also, usually we give a general talk for to arouse your faith towards a vipassana practice, and to at least let you know what is vipassana practice. What are the things that you need to know roughly? The real teaching comes when you have developed enough concentration, and then we can guide you stage by stage. Too much philosophy, too much thinking is not so helpful, not so necessary. You see, my mother also not highly educated people, but she could practice and finish the vipassana training. And Venerable Dhamma Gawesaka's mother, Siali Kanti, she can't even speak Chinese. She can only speak the Teochew, Hokkien. She couldn't even read all this ABC. I think she doesn't know A to Z, I think. But she could practice. Why? Because she practiced to see. When she developed concentration with a simple mind, she see. To use all these terms, she may not be able to use all these terms. But she could see. Because this is the reality. When you have concentration, you can see. If you are direct insight. So, like that. So, the message of this talk is to tell you that all our experiences, how we experience the world, how we experience ourselves, everything the Buddha has taught us, to take them as object, as a method, as training. So, sometimes it is unwise to blame this experience, blame that experience. All experiences can be used, in fact, need to be used as object of our vipassana practice. If a memory happened, bad memory about the past, you don't know how to deal with it. But with vipassana training, you can take the past memory about the painful experiences. Take that, when you have concentration, shine your light on it. The past one, past five aggregates. See the past five aggregates, the materiality, the feeling, the perception, at that time, how was that volitional formations, all kind of mental states, how was it? And then all the consciousness. And take them as object and see the anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, suffering, non-self of it. And see the causes of them. And those causes are also anicca, dukkha, anatta. And not only that, even the wisdom, the current wisdom that took this as object, the wisdom is also another thought process, and the wisdom also anicca, dukkha, anatta. When you practice like this, nothing is left out. Everything is covered. So, what else can you attach? You say you don't attach your present, but you may attach your past. If you say you don't attach your past, you may attach to your future. Fear from the future, craving for the future. So take this as an object. You know? But eventually it is a craving for rebirth to another life that keep our suffering going. Yeah, no doubt anger is also a cause of suffering. Delusion is a cause of suffering. But if you don't get reborn, there will be no suffering. So it is the craving for sensual desire, craving for existence, and craving for non-existence that is the root suffering. So if you can conquer this, no more being reborn again. Okay? You won't be reborn again. So this is the purpose of this talk. Today we are not meant to talk about the deeper part of Vipassana. Also to discuss only theoretically, also not meaningful. Only those kind of discussion is only meaningful when you have enough concentration. Okay? Then we go into the Vipassana practice. That this talk is meant to arouse your some knowledge so that you know how important it is to regard all experiences of our life, whether it comes through our five aggregates or in another presentation from six sense doors. Okay? It means the same thing. In the Bhattikarata Suttas, Venerable Mahakachana also referred to six sense doors of past, future, and present, and don't hold on to experiences in our six sense doors of past, future, and present. So it covers everything. Okay. Anything you want to ask?
Hello, Bhante. Sorry, Bhante, what's the difference between cetana and consciousness? Is consciousness a cetasika?
Consciousness, no. Consciousness is not cetasika. Cetana is a cetasika. Cetana, the intention, is it? What is the difference? First, I talk about the relationship. Mental states, what is the relationship between mental states and consciousness? We can use this simile and you may understand. Consciousness is like water. Let's say consciousness is water. But the states of water, the water has many states. You put it into a cup, the water stays in a cup form. You freeze it, it becomes a cube or maybe a eye and ice. Become a solid form. Okay? But if you cook it, and then it can vaporize. So you see the water manifests in many ways. And the cold water also may have colors, may have taste, you know, may have smell also, you know. So these are all the various states, you know, the water in the waves, in the waveform, you know, in the waterfall falling down. Can you see? The water works in all the different ways. In fact, they can use the water to cut steel. Have you seen that? The industrial water. They can use such a strong power, the water can cut the steel. You see, the water can manifest in so many ways. So the various state, water is water, but the various state of water. So you can describe. But can the various state of water be separated from the water? No. Right or not? How can you have a water state without water? Not possible. So in the same way, our mental states is not separated from our mind, our consciousness. Usually we talk, when we use the word mind, we refer to consciousness. But sometimes also we refer to the, in a general way, we may, common language, when we talk about mind, we actually covers the mental states as well. So now, intention is a state of our consciousness, I suspect. You know, for example, when you do something, you always have consciousness with you. But it is the attention that makes us look at something. You know, if I look at the clock, but if my mind is somewhere else daydreaming, it seems I'm paying attention, but actually my attention is not there. So I actually don't see. But only when my attention is there, and then I see. So that is a function of attention, of the mind. Of course, you apply your mind there, but that applying the consciousness there, that action is done by attention. Attention part of the consciousness. And now this is the intention part. Chetana is intention. When you, of course, when you see the end, you know, when you see the end, you may have compassion, you may have an intention to feed you a little bit breadcrumbs, you know, or you may have the intention to kill. That is the intention. The consciousness know it, you know, but it is the intention that decide what you want to do with it, whether you want to regard it with wholesome intention or unwholesome intention. That is the work of Chetana. Okay?
Sadhu, sadhu, Bhante. That's all we have today.
Okay, huh? So let's share with Mary's. Idang me punyang asawa kaya wahang hotu. Idang me punyang nibana sa pachayo hotu. Mama punya bagang sabba satanang bajemi. Te sabbe me samang punya bagang labandu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.